Troughed. Amen. Some of you may not be. You're here saying, preacher, feed us something good from the Word of God. Well, I want to not only feed this evening, but I don't know much about computers. I don't know hardly anything about computers. And somebody says, and you refuse to learn. That's pretty much it. I got Sherry and I got Kay and I got a few other people that know how to do that. But one thing I learned a long time ago, you can type all kinds of stuff in a computer. But down here in the corner, there's a couple of buttons and one of those is a little blue button and it says apply. You got to apply what you learn. And I think that's one of the things that I've learned in ministry, that you can have all kinds of preaching. You can have Tim Hill preaching. You can have Brian Cutshaw. You can have Raymond Culpepper. You can have all the people that I grew up under hearing them preach. But until I apply it, it's not going to work. So last week we talked about impact. 2023. How are we going to impact the world that we're living in? We talked about impacting the word, the world, if you will, through preaching. That young church, that Pentecostal church that came out of the upper room. They were a preaching church. They were preaching. Paul preached. Peter preached. Not only that, we showed you that they were a praying church. We've got to be a praying church. Not only corporately, but my dog ate my outline. That's the truth, ain't it? She found it in the floor last night and ate it. I had another outline that I'd been working on. I wasn't going to use it, but I was just scribbling notes on it. I wasn't going to use it because Brother West preached it Wednesday night. Good job. And he preached Wednesday night about not only was it a church that was preaching, not only was it a church of prayer, they were a church that would worship. And tonight I'm going to continue ministering along that line about what are we going to do in today's world to impact the world. And I want to pick up with some stuff found in the scripture. I want to go into the book of Acts, chapter number 1. And I just simply want to read some scripture out of Acts chapter number 1. This is, again, Luke the physician. Picking up in verse number 6, it's when they gathered together after Jesus had gone into glory. And Jesus met with them there again, and Jesus began to teach them that they're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this scripture picks up there, and Jesus begins to tell them that it is not for the times or the seasons for them to know right now. But he tells them in verse number 8, something that I believe that we need to hear and take very serious in the day and hour that we're living in. I told Brother Matt this morning after we left and we went and ate lunch. And I said, you preach so much long, a different way, with what I've been trying myself to do in the church. Because we're not doing what we're doing for just a right now generation. But we're doing what we're doing for a generation that we intend to impact with the gospel some way. Those of you that's been around here for quite some time, you know that a long time ago we talked about this. You know a long time ago that I believe the Lord gave me a caption for the church or a vision for the church. Or a vision you have to put something with that. You can't just have a vision. You got to have a method by which you're going to carry that out. And it is building a bridge of hope from one generation to another. We pick that up over, and you don't need to turn there, Joanne, but we pick that up over in Psalm 145 in verse number 4, I believe it is, where it says that one generation shall declare your praise to another. It's passing the torch from one generation to the next. When Jesus was getting ready to go back into glory, where the Bible reminds us that He is forevermore at the right hand of God, ever making intercession for you and I. You remember Stephen when he was stoned? This is not in the message, but you remember Stephen when he was stoned? He looked up into heaven and he seen Jesus standing at the right hand throne of God. But Jesus told this young church something that I believe that is very important for you and I to hear this, and for you and I to carry this into a field that is very ripe under the harvest. Again, I didn't turn there, but you can go back into the book of John, chapter number 4 is where Jesus was there, and Jesus told them, He said, the fields are white even now in the harvest. And He says, look upon the fields. And He asked a question there, and He said, the laborers are few. The harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. And I believe this with everything within me. There has never been a greater day for you and I to be living than the day and the hour that we're living in. The darker it gets, the brighter the church needs to shine. You can take a little bitty flashlight, and if it's pitch black dark in a room, you can turn that little bitty flashlight on and you can almost see the whole room because it illuminates. And Jesus told them that there would be dark times. Paul reminded Timothy that there was going to be dark times. Men would be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. And how that Paul talked about that, they would be disobedient to parents and truce breakers and on and so forth. So Paul was training this young guy by the name of Timothy. And Paul told him that the time of my departure was not at hand. Paul reminded Timothy that there was a crown of righteousness laid up for him. And then he said, not only me, but unto all of them that love His appearing, all of those that will heed the call. He said, unto all of them. All of us have been promised a crown, but the thing I thought about, I had a glitch there for a second. But what I began to think about, I thought about how that Paul told Timothy, he said, but this is what Paul was saying. He says, but make full proof of your ministry. Don't let a day go by that you're not involved in ministry. Remember those things that was instilled within you by Eunice and by Lois, your grandmother and mother. Remember those things that was put into you. Let not a day go by. How are we going to do that? How are we going to minister in the world that we're living in today? How are we going to impact the world in 2023? There's only a short message I've got tonight. It's not going to be real lengthy. I don't intend for it to be. Somebody says, well, your intentions and the Holy Ghost's intentions is two different things. True. Because God does what He wants to do, and I'm just a vessel. I'm trying my best to do what He tells me to do up here. So in the scripture, in the book of Acts chapter number 1, Jesus is there in verse number 8. He picks these words up. And He says here in the scripture, but you shall receive power. Now, I didn't come here to talk about power tonight, but power is one of those things that goes along with preaching. It goes along with prayer. And it goes along that they receive power, dunamis. We know that word. We've been around long enough to know that. That's the enabling power of God, the ability to be able to do what you ordinarily would not be able to do by yourself. It is that supernatural power of God. It's that ability that God has given us. Comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. And He says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then he says, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now we can shout right here. And he says here in the word of the Lord, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And I've always loved this. And he says, and which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from heaven and from you into heaven, so shall come again in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Now, I question that sometimes as to how many of us really do believe that. I believe that. Do you believe that? I know that there are times that it would seem almost as if the promises of Jesus have not come and the promises of Jesus would not come. But we know what the Bible says because we know that all the promises of God are yea and amen. So that's another one of those P words that I thought about as the promises of God. Not only did they preach the word and they prayed and there was a power church, but they believed in the promises of God. But yet when I began to read through this and plan this service, the thing that really stuck out in my own simple mind was this. And this is where everybody in the church can get on board. Everybody in the church can get on board. The Bible calls us lively stones in the book of Peter. I read the scripture, but I didn't write it down because I didn't want to get stuck there. He calls us lively stones. He calls us living epistles. So in this, we can see that the Bible reminds us in this Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, very familiar portion of Scripture, is that when we think about the Word of God, we think about what Jesus actually told them. Now watch this. He said that when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now watch this real close. When you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to run and shout and dance about. It's not what he said. Now, I'm not against none of those things. Matter of fact, I'll shout with you. I wish we had a little more shouting every now and then. Come on, somebody. I wish we would all enjoy the presence of God, even with an expression of a hallelujah or an amen every now and then. It's okay. We're still in a Pentecostal church. It's okay. You're not going to scare the preacher. I'd probably scare you before you scared me. But the point that I'm trying to get to is simply this, that when you think about the scripture, when you think about what was said here, this is what Jesus said. You're going to be my witness. When we think about Impact 2023, how are we going to impact the world? We're going to impact the world by being his witness. And when we think about this, we look at several scriptures throughout the New Testament, throughout the book of Acts. One of the things that I'm reminded of in my own heart that I see Brother Dennis McGuire post very, very often on Facebook. Some of you know Brother Dennis McGuire. He got married at the old church here years ago. His daddy-in-law pastored the church, his wife's dad, many, many years ago. But one of the quotes of Dennis McGuire that he always says that a world in crisis needs a church in revival. And I believe today that God is wanting to send revival to the church. I believe that, but I want to just preach for a minute. You'll never experience revival in your own life until you really do want it. Revival, renewal, refreshing, a time of how that God would touch us and we would find that God is refreshing our spirit, if you will. But we see where the Bible says here again that you shall be my witnesses. Well, what do we think about when we think about this thing about witness, if you will? So here's what I want to try to focus on for the next little bit. We see Peter's message again when Peter was preaching this message. Peter was telling them of how that the Bible said that they're going to be witnesses. Everybody in this room in some way, shape, form, or fashion is a witness to the glory of God. When we look into the Word of God in the book of Acts chapter number 2, you know that Scripture as well as I do. We see this in the Scripture and we find it in verses 32 and 33. Peter's message was a preaching message. His message was a power message. It was a praying message. And one, again, where that he had a purpose behind the message. And I believe, and maybe this is a Sunday morning message, but I want to say it on a Sunday night. And this is something that I pray gets in my heart. I pray it's something that gets into my spirit. One of the things that I realized about this early church is that they always preached Jesus. Come on, somebody. They always preached about the cross. They always preached about the death, the burial, and resurrection. Read Peter's message. Peter talked about the one that was crucified, the one that they took and hanged on a tree. And then Peter came forth, and this is what he says here in the text. And I pray that this gets into our heart. He said, "This Jesus hath God raised up." Now watch this. "Wherefore we are all witnesses." Let us be a witness in 2023. There's a family, I'm not going to go into it. There's a family that was at church this morning, and I'm not tooting Chris's horn by no means. He's like me. We ain't got no horn to toot. The only horn we want to toot is the cross horn. Come on, somebody. We want to tell people about Jesus. There was a family here today. He met at Walmart, invited them to church, and they were here. Praise God. I'm not tooting my horn. I'm just telling you how it works. You know when you feel a nudge of the Spirit? I was coming home last week, a week before. Matter of fact, it's Christmas Eve. I was driving in. And I was at Wendy's in Black Mountain. And I just felt prompted to do this. So I go through the drive-thru. And there's this young girl at the drive-thru. She's probably 20, 19, 18, 20-year-old. And I said, "Are you going to have a Merry Christmas?" She said, "I don't know. It ain't Christmas yet." Her name was Izzy. I-Z-Z-Y. I've never said it. I said, "Izzy." I said, "Are you going to have a Merry Christmas?" And she said, "I don't know. It's not Christmas yet." So I had a $20 bill laying in the seat, and I handed her that $20 bill, and I'm not asking you to do this. Everybody don't do what I do. And I said, "Would this help you to have a Merry Christmas?" And she looked at me and she said, "For me?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Christmas is about Jesus. Christmas is about Jesus giving his life for you and for me. And for you and I to be able to have a Merry Christmas, we've got to know who Jesus is." And I handed her that $20 bill and said, "God bless you." And she stood there, Brother Bob, kind of dumbfounded because she didn't believe what just happened to her. Now, I told Sherry about it, and I said, "You know what? No matter, I don't know if it'll ever, whatever happens of that, but there's one thing about it." And I told her, I said, "I'm Pastor Alan Green. I pastor Thomasville Church of God." I said, "I'm a preacher. No matter what happens in her life, she's going to remember me, Brother Russell." And I didn't even have his message on my mind at that time. But we can become witnesses. We look for opportunity in Jesus again, where Peter was preaching, and Peter said, "We become witnesses, if you will, of the fact of what Jesus did. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses." Then verse 33, the Bible says, "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear." And Peter's message, you can read the rest of that message. So how do we become those witnesses of God? One of the things, and I'll get back into it in just a few minutes ago, is this early church, when they came out of the upper room, the Bible reminds us of where they heard them and they saw them and they witnessed them and they experienced them. And I believe this is something that's very important today. And they heard them glorify God. When you and I brag on Jesus, when you and I glorify God, when you say, well, I'm not an outward person. I'm a soft person and a kind, and I don't get loud ever. That's fine. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But you can lead somebody to the Lord in a very still voice, if you will, a quiet voice, if you will. And it's not about boisterous. It's not about how loud or how soft. But they heard them glorify God. And as they glorified God, and I'll get into that more in just a few minutes. When they heard them glorify God, I mentioned this last week. The Bible said that they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, but they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. What does a dark world need today? What does a dark, dying world need today? They need a Christian on fire of the power of the Holy Ghost. Not to be rude, not to be ugly, not to condemn, and not to get in somebody's face and condemn them to the devil's hell, but to get in somebody's face and let them know that God loves you. No matter what you've done, God still loves you. If you look into the Bible, John 13, 34 and 35, because they loved the people, it became a witness that they had been with Jesus. Brother Matt mentioned it this morning. For God so loved the world, God loved you and I. When we were wretched, when we were broke, when we were down, when we were out, when we were broke, busted and disgusted, God's love was shed abroad in our hearts. Somebody say amen. You can see this, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Look at this, that you have also loved one another. Can I say something off the record that don't make nobody mad at me this evening? There's enough rude Christians. There's enough obnoxious, rude, condemning, looking down their nose at the world. I don't agree with the things the world does. No way. I still believe that that the article number 7 of the Declaration of Faith, that holiness is the standard of living for God's people. I still believe in holiness. I'm a holiness preacher. I still believe in that. But I do, Brother Russell, know that we're living in a dark world and people are struggling. One of the things I said years ago, one of the reasons that an alcoholic stays an alcoholic is because an alcoholic has never seen himself as something different than being an alcoholic. And young people today, they need to know that there's a hope. They need to know, and they need to be able, as we are the witnesses of God, we are the witnesses, and even by being a witness, we can impact the world around us. These senior adults that go to senior centers, and young people that go to school, and people that go to jobs, and people in your job, that, whether you realize it or not, that they're paying attention to you, and they're taking knowledge of you. This next verse in 30, the next verse there in the scripture, and you can see this. He says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. So this is the kicker. How are we going to impact the world around us today? How are we going to become the witnesses that God would want us to be today? Is we're going to love people. We're going to love people. You say, well, they smell bad. They don't look like me. Let me tell you something. I had somebody tell me one time, said a rich lawyer needs Jesus just like the bum in the ditch. And just everybody that's desperate, they don't have a stench to them. It might be the boss man on your job. It might be somebody that you would never, ever think would ever listen to a word that you have to say. So see, my friend, when we think about this, we see what the word says. It says that Jesus, that we become a witness of Him. Understand, it's not about us. We are ambassadors. We are representing another world. We are representing another kingdom. I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ living on planet Earth right now. I'm not of this world. I may have an address down the road down here, but Brother Ken, I know there's an address over there. Hallelujah. Until we get there, I represent Jesus. Come on, somebody. I represent Jesus on this earth right now. We are His witnesses. I'm going to say something that's going to curl your hair. I'm a Jehovah's Witness, but not in the cult, not in the way that you think, not in that people that classify themselves over here as a Jehovah's Witness, if you will, but I'm Jehovah's Witness. I am God's witness on earth. I hope we get a hold of this. I hope when we leave this room tonight, that when we go back out into the highways and the hedges, that you and I will carry this in our heart to know that we represent not only the Church of God and Pastor Green, and I represent you, and I represent Thomasville, but more than anything, God, we represent you. And when people see me, they see you. And if I'm an ambassador, what I'm doing to a lost and dying world, I'm telling people this is what Jesus looks like. Come on, somebody. This is what Jesus looks like. You say, are you calling yourself Jesus? No, I'm not calling myself Jesus. But the Bible reminds us in Romans chapter number 12, verses number 1 and verses number 2. And the Bible says, as Paul is preaching, as Paul is looking there to the Romans, and he says in the scripture, Romans 1 verses 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let me say this before I move on. You are not your own. You are bought with a price, and my life is His. Hide me behind the cross of Calvary. Oh God, blind me to the things of the world, and God, let me shine for your glory, that all the world may see a church that's truly a witness for your glory. That's my desire. I don't want to be selfish. I don't want to take God's glory. I don't want to be standing even on this platform behind this pulpit and saying, look at me. Look at me. If a preacher can't get over his own ego, he don't need to be behind the pulpit. Come on, somebody. If a Sunday school teacher can't get all behind their own ego, they don't need to be behind a pulpit. It's not about you. Come on, somebody. Y'all got to help me tonight. It ain't about us. Oh, my God, when the Holy Ghost comes, the Bible says He will not speak of Himself. Everything the Holy Ghost said He would do, He would keep pointing to Jesus. And if the Holy Ghost has come to the planet Earth today to speak about Jesus, what in the world should you and I be doing in our classes, in our singing, in our motive, if you will? We ought to just keep pointing people to Jesus. Amen. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. You say, how is that? I become His witness on earth. Hallelujah. We think about this early church again, what Peter was saying. He said we should be witnesses. Witnesses. There was those that saw Jesus. There are those that become eyewitnesses. Again, when you look in 1 Corinthians 15, there's several verses in verse number 1 through verse number 8. And I'm not going to take the time to read all of those, and I just want to turn there because I just want to read a part of that for the sake of time, and I don't want to preach 2 hours. I already told you I wasn't going to preach that long. Somebody says, you've already preached long. Wake up. This is what he says, and after he says this, he says in verse number, I guess I want to go verse number 4. He talked about how in verse number 3 he died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And in verse number 5 he says this. This is Paul again talking to the church. And then he says, and that he was seen of Cephas, which is Peter, then of the 12, those disciples that was there. Then he says this in verse number 6. He says, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Then he says in verse 7, after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And Paul said in verse number 8, and last of all he was seen of me, also one born out of due time. In other words, what we're seeing here in the scripture, he said there was seen about 500 disciples after Jesus' resurrection. And then all these that Paul talks about, he was finally seen of James, he was seen of Cephas, he said, Paul said he was seen of me. Some of them's already fallen asleep. Some of them's already died. But there are those that have seen him after the resurrection. They are still with us today. And Paul, again, he comes down at that bottom part. He said he's seen of me. I like what Brother Matt said this morning. I told you, he preached all over my message because he said that a man cannot argue with somebody that's had a personal experience with God. And that's what Matt was saying this morning. You can argue the words, you can argue theology, you can argue all kinds of stuff, but my friend, when you know in your knower, when you know that what Jesus Christ has done for you, and you know Him, nobody can convince you of anything different. That's why they became a witness unto God. They become witnesses. Three things real fast. You can take this home with you. Very short outline. It's just very short. So when this early church became a witness, what is witness? Anybody know what it is in the Greek? You can look it up. It's the same word that we use today for a martyr. How many of you knew that? For the word martyr. Now, preacher, you've stepped across the line on that one. The word witness in the Greek comes from the word martyr. And the Bible teaches us in Matthew 10 and 39 that, and this is a paraphrase of that verse. And he says that he that finds his life shall lose it. But yet he who loses his life will find it. Oh, my Jesus. I'm not worried. Everybody in this room, listen to me. Everybody in this room, the Bible says, for it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Again, Brother Matt mentioned it this morning. It's amazing how close we were in some of the stuff we'd studied. He said that our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little while, book of James, and then it's gone. The only thing that's going to really matter, my friend, is the things and the how that we've influenced and how that we left our life as a witness to the glory of God. All of these, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, the Bible said all of these died in the faith. They had not yet obtained. They had not yet received the promises of God. And my friend, outside of the rapture of the church, you and I will never truly see the glory of God until we get to the other side. But my friend, hallelujah, think about what a reunion that's going to be when we get over on the other side, when we get into glory. But again, this word witness is coming from the word martyr. They bear their witness. What is a witness? One that goes and tells, as the scripture in 1 Corinthians, I got ahead of myself a little bit. One that goes and tells what they personally has experienced. I can't tell somebody else about your experience. I can't tell nobody else your story. Your story is different than my story. But all of it is about the saving grace of God. Look at your neighbor and tell him, just go tell your story. Just go tell your story. Here's the first of three things I want to talk about. First of all, not only are we going to become a witness through some of the stuff I've already talked about, our preaching and our prayer, our power, we're going to impact the world as a witness. Here's the first thing. And this is very important. God help the preacher. Write that in your notes. God help the preacher. And the reason I say that is because I have got to sometimes put brakes on my lips. The psalmist said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee. With many other words did they testify of the glory of Jesus. Watch this. Acts 2 and 14 is a scripture that I wanted to share with you. And it says this in the Word, and it says, "And Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them," yes, Peter was in the upper chamber. Yes, Peter was in the upper room. Yes, Peter came out of there with blazing flames of glory on his lips, if you will. And they begin to speak the word with boldness. They begin to tell the story of Jesus. So how are we going to impact the world that we're living in today? You're going to impact the world, negative, positive, good or bad, with the words that you speak. Are y'all still awake? I got to watch my words. I got to watch my words. Because we look at this and we see that Peter again became the witness of God. If you look at this, as he lifted up his voice. And I thought about this. I thought about how that the voice, how that God's give different ones a voice. Robert, can I pick on you for a minute? Thank you. He changed jobs not long ago, and he said last weekend, your testimony, not mine, that now he's figuring out why he's there, because he can be an influence on these younger men, younger guys he's working around. I think you said that pretty much. See, moms and dads and preachers and teachers and Sunday school leaders and all of that, God's given us a voice. God's given us a platform. And it might be your job. I heard a story one time, and somebody was coming to the pastor and said, this is supposed to be a real story. Nobody that I know, probably a scenario that all of us would fit into. You've got to move me. You've got to get me out of that plant. You've got to get me away from this person. You've got to get me somewhere else in this job, because these people are atheists, and these people are cussing all around me, and these people are mean, and these people are rude. And the preacher looked back and said, why in the world would I pray that God would remove you from the greatest mission field that he possibly could have given you? People right around you. So if you're going to impact the world, everything can't come from out of the pulpit. Hello, somebody. It comes out of our daily lives. Amen. That when we leave this place, I want you to get the mindset, we're the ambassadors of Jesus. Not only do we represent Thomasville Church of God, and I represent you, and you represent me, and we represent one another, but we are the ambassadors of God. We are the ambassadors of Jesus. When Jesus led them out two by two, he took the 70 and led them out, and he told them, go into the cities that I will soon come. John, you know the story as well as me. I just made some very scratchy notes here this evening, but in Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 3, John became a forerunner. How many of you believe that Jesus is coming again? Amen. That one lady that sings that song, her name escapes me right now. Happy Goodman family, the Goodman family. Jesus is coming soon. That one woman that, boy, should rire back there and let her rip, Tater Chip. Jesus is coming soon. What's it, Vestal? There you go. I knew y'all would help me. If not, I was going to look at Terry, and Terry would tell me. Jesus is coming soon. How many of us believe that? There's a few of you here that do. But let me ask you a question. If we really do believe that, are we really those witnesses that God would have us to be? God help us. John became a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Number one is use your voice to become a witness for him. Impact. Use your words. I'm going to get ugly. Are y'all ready for me to be ugly for a minute? Don't be using God's name in vain and then turn around and witness to somebody and tell them about the amazing grace of God, because that ain't going to work. Because they're not going to pay a bit more attention to you than the man in the moon. Amen. It's the witness. I remember many times, Brother Russell, many times, I mean, I had to pull myself together when years and years and years ago, when I worked at Pepsi years ago, Pepsi Cola Bottling Company in Asheville, years and years and years ago. It's the hardest job I've ever had in my life. Longest job I've ever had in my life. But there'd be times that I'd go into the Ingles or into a store, and Brother Barney, I'd have a Walkman. Some of these young people today don't know what a Walkman is. Somebody tell them later. A Walkman's what you put a cassette tape in, and you put it on your hip, and you'd put an earphone on, and they got all kinds of media stuff today. I'd put a cassette in there and I'd be listening to Vineyard music. I'd be listening to somebody walk around the corner and Robert, I'd say, what you so happy for today? Hardest job ever had in my life. Miserable at times. Worked sometimes 13, 14 hours a day. I remember times coming home working and kids was little and I'd see her every now and then, you know, and I'd lay across the bed, didn't even have time to take my clothes off. I would be exhausted. But I'd get up the next morning and go again and tell people about the love of Jesus and all the men. Hey, you know what happened when I quit Pepsi Cola? I turned in my notice on Friday. I told my overseer, his name was Larry Adams. You know what he told me? Well, no, it wasn't him. It was the plant manager, John Brown. I went in his office and sat down and told him. You know what he told me? Barney, he said, I've been expecting this for a long time. That I was going to go pastor a church. Just cold turkey. I wouldn't advise nobody to do that. If it wasn't a God thing, don't do it. I didn't starve to death. But I tell you what, you have to make some adjustments. Come on, somebody. She said, that's for sure. But you know, God's been faithful, Brother West.
Yes.
David said, I was young and now I'm old. Never seen the righteous forsaken, seed begging bread. God's been faithful.
Amen.
But on that job, if I had not have used my voice in the right way to be a witness for God, the day I'd have walked out, the day I quit, I stayed for hours, an hour after. I mean, I'd turned all my stuff in. The guy looked at me, the same man, he said, I figured you'd be out of here and gone. I was out there talking to all the guys, and it's my last day. I was just talking to all the guys that I knew and worked with, and if I'd been a sorry witness, I would not left a legacy as Brother Matt talked about this morning. I told you these messages run parallel. The second thing I thought about, not only to impact the world, is my words. To be a witness, is I thought about my walk. The Bible teaches us that I've got to walk. Galatians 5, there's two scriptures there that I wanted to share with you. This is very important. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16 says this. Verse 16, he says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? Walk under the influence. Walk under the control. Walk under the dominance. Walk under the power of the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 25, the same section, Galatians 5 and 25 says this. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If we're going to influence a world in 2023, not only do we have to use our words, but we need to be having a spiritual walk. Not only do I need to be praying, not only do I need to be studying, do I need to be seeking the face of God on a day-to-day basis, the presence of God, but I need to be walking this thing out. We walk by faith and not by sight. Check your walk. I could go on and on right there again, but in the book of Acts chapter number 3, it's a scripture there that we all know. We can see that where that Peter and John was going up to the temple in the hour of prayer. You know it as well as I do. And we can see this in the scripture in verses 8 and 9. This is what he said. And it says, let me go back to verse 7. And he said, and he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his ankle bones received strength. He needed a miracle. Look what happened. Peter had said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. If there's anything that we need to do in 2023 to impact a world that is dying, it is that we need the power of God again in our step. We need, and I thought about this as I was studying this. And again, you're thinking and my thinking may be totally, and I didn't want to do anything to stretch this in a theological concept or take anything out of the Scripture and not add to the Scripture. But I thought about this, that it could be an analogy of the church, and it could be an analogy of Peter and John representing the church and going out into a world that is lame and halt and a world that is weak in their walk. And Peter and John went out there and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. And he prayed for him, and the Bible said, and his ankle bones received strength. Verse number 8 says this, when you begin to look at this in the Scripture, and he says in verse number 8, and he leaping up stood, and he walked. If there's anything that we need to do today is we need to walk by the power of the Spirit. We need a spiritual walk. Is this okay? Not only do we need the Word to walk by the Word if we're going to impact the world, but we need to walk. Again, when you begin to look at this scripture and when you look at what happened there, he says, and he leaping up and stood and walked. He entered with them in the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Verse 9 says that when this man was restored, watch this. When he was restored, when Jesus came into his heart, it affected his walk. I hope this is making sense. I'm almost done. When this man got his life in order, when Jesus touched his life, when we look at this again in verse number 9, it says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. What an impact. When they saw him, you can come on, Penny. When they saw him, he was leaping, glorifying God. His walk become the testimony. And he impacted. You can read the rest of it. I'm cutting it short. You can read the rest of it of how that the fame of all that was going on went throughout the whole city. And again, the last thing. Not only their walk, or excuse me, not only their words, not only their walk, but the last thing is this, their works. Jesus said in the Word of God in 9:4 in the book of John, he said that I must do the work of him that sent me while it is day. For night time cometh when no man can work. Jesus knew that he had only a limited amount of time to do what the Father had told him to do. Now I know that the Bible says that it is not by works of righteousness that we have done. But Jesus said, I must do the work of him that sent me. Somehow or another, I believe that there was an urgency in the life of that early church. I believe that they knew that it was very imperative to do what Jesus called them to do. You can read throughout the book of Acts how that different ones, whether it would be Paul or the rest of them or Peter, the ones that's in the upper room. Brother West done this really, really good on Wednesday night. But I wanted to mention it again tonight, Brother West, if that's okay. Not only did their words make a difference, not only did their walk make a difference, not only did their works make a difference, the Bible said that Jesus went about doing good and healing all manner of those that was oppressed and delivering those that was oppressed of the devil. The Bible said, for God was with him. Acts 10:38. The last thing I wanted to mention here this evening is simply this. Again, Brother West done a great job Wednesday night. Not only was it their words and their walk and their works, but their worship. Their worship was phenomenal. I've had people tell me, preacher, I remember the day when the music of the Church of God was the draw to the church. It wasn't the music. It was the anointing that was here. It was the anointing that was upon the things that we're doing. Again, it's too late in the service to get mad at the preacher. Too many today, they don't care if the glory shows up or not. As long as we punch the clock and go home at the end of the day, we're fine. Somehow we've got to break the mold. Somehow I want it to be Thomasville. I don't know what other churches is doing. Peter and these others, they were worshiping. I remember reading the story, Miss Shelby, out of the book of Acts chapter 16, how that Paul was there and Silas was there and this little soothsayer was there, and she brought her her master's much gain, and she'd followed Paul around and making fun and jabs at Paul. These men are the servants of the Most High God. He finally told her to shut up and cast the devil out of her. They all got mad at Paul and they throwed him in prison and said, now you hush and you be quiet and don't you dare let us hear a peep out of you, and don't you mention the name of Jesus anymore, because it was just impacting everything around them. Our worship is powerful. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And here's the thing. Somebody says, well, preacher, I'll praise him when I feel it. You won't feel him till you praise him. The Bible said to let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I challenge you. You put a hallelujah on your lips every now and then. And you put a glory to God on your lips every now and then. And you put a praise the Lord on your lips every now and then. And you begin to glorify God. And I don't know what people want these days. I've begged and I've pleaded and I've almost stood on my head. I tried to do that with the youth, Chris, and I said, I can't do that no more. And that's another story for another time. But my friend, if God himself is not so important to us, and if we don't love God enough to worship God, there's not another thing on this earth that'll change your mind. I think we ought to praise him. I think we ought to glorify him. Oh, look what the Lord has done. All we've got to do is think about his goodness. All we've got to do is think about his mercy. All we've got to do is to know that I was lost and dying and on my way to a devil's hell. But somehow, in all of his intimate wisdom, he came to where I was and he lifted me up out of an old horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And he established my goings, if you will. My friend, that ought to be enough to make a shout and glorify God and magnify him from now throughout all eternity. Their worship made a difference. You say, well, I don't want to run nobody off. My friend, I can just testify of me. When I was a little kid and I was standing at the corner of my papa's old smokehouse, at the corner of an old outdoor toilet that was down there below my granny's house and my papa's house that they did not use anymore other than just a have-to case. It was down there at my papa's building. I was probably maybe 75 yards from the Clyde Church of God. I was about 8-year-old Dixie, and I heard one of them Pentecostal women give one of those, woo! You know what I'm talking about? One of them Pentecostal whoops, if you will. And I thought to myself, boy, there's something going on down there tonight. Amen. I was 8-year-old. And at an 8-year-old, it let anybody eight, Summer, how old are you? It let me know there was something to this thing. At 8-year-old, it put an interest in my heart of what was going on in the church house. And all through my life, it's not scared anybody away. We fell in love with Jesus and we began to worship. Paul and Silas, when they were in that jail, I love this scripture. They had been told to be quiet. Don't you dare breathe his name in this place. And we see this in the scripture in verse 25. The Bible said, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I don't know what that does to you tonight, but it wants me to get louder. It wants me to get bolder. It makes me want to shout from the rooftop, hallelujah, Jesus is coming soon. Jesus, he's the King of glory. Who is this King of glory? It makes me want to praise his name. It makes me want to glorify his name. And my friend, I'm just simply saying this. We ought to be excited about Jesus. Let me ask you something. On a scale from 1 to 10, where do you fall this evening on your love scale for Jesus? Where do you fall on a scale from 1 to 10 on a praise a scale to Jesus? I don't mean to be ugly, but there's people in this church that I've known for years and I've never seen them raise their hand. I've never seen them say a hallelujah to the Lord or a glory to God. And don't get mad at the preacher, it's too late. It's almost as if we're an ice cube. It's almost like we've grown cold and we're hardened in our heart towards praise. They told him, don't you breathe it. Don't you say another. Don't you dare let us hear you again. But Paul and Silas, I don't know. I've always got my idea. I think Paul might have gooched him in the ribs and said, are you ready? Are you ready? And I said, I mean, this is just me. You may not agree with me, but I believe that Paul, and I know it's way before the song was written, and I've said it before, I believe that Paul might have gooched Silas in the side and said, are you ready? And I believe on the count of three, one, two, three, all of a sudden Paul broke out in him, and he said, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redemption flood, the way the words go. Hell, and I believe that when they, and you know, Martha, I can't remember words, but anyway, when we think about that, we think about the words, the victory in Jesus, and you and I today, we ought to be out in the world, impacting the world with our praise and our worship. Stand with me. I could preach another 30 minutes. I've already burned up 15, haven't I? Recap, four things real fast tonight. We impact the world with our words. Number two, we impact the world with our walk. We impact the world through our works, doing good to those that are around us. And our works is those things that we do and those things that people see Jesus in us by our works. The fourth thing is simply this, that they impacted the world by what they heard. The jailer said, I'm going to kill myself. I've already boogered this thing up. Paul went back and said, hey, do thyself no harm. He said, we're all here. The jailer looked back because of the witness and the impact of Paul upon him. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? A world that is dying and going to hell, they need to know, what must I do to be saved? You and I, we open up our mouth and we say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And he and his whole entire house was saved. They took Paul and Silas, washed his wounds, and they sent him down the road praising and glorifying God because an old jailer got saved. We can impact the lost and the dying world. We can do it. We've got to do it. I know this might have been a Sunday morning message, but it was in my heart. Let's go do it for Jesus. Father, we love you tonight and we glorify. We magnify your name. God, I preach what I felt like you laid in my heart. God, not for the sake of preaching, not just to do something that to fill void and to fill time, but God, let this thing get in our hearts. God, that we would become the people that you would have us to be. That God, that we can see lives turn from sin to salvation. We can see our children saved, our sons and our daughters and our family members saved and born again. God, let us not grow weary in well-doing because we know what the Word says, that in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And God, let us love you in spite of all that's going on in our world today. And we thank you, Father. And we glorify you in Jesus' name. When Jesus sent them out, he sent them out two by two. He sent the 70 out. They were his ambassadors to the places that he would go. And they went, they prepared the way to where Jesus was coming. The word apostle means sent. And you may not be an apostle by the definition of the 12 apostles in the New Testament. But the word apostle is sent. He sent them out. And you know what? This week, I believe that I'm sending you out. Go and tell somebody. Amen. We love you. Remember the announcements. And we'll see you Wednesday night.